All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, Week 12 edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We're coming off the bye week. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be back on the football field for the first of seven consecutive weeks. That will determine their final regular season record, will determine their qualification for the playoffs, and their standing within if they are able to qualify. And to put it in less confusing terms, going to determine the outcome of the what we think of this season 1 year, 2 year, 5 years from now. Although that outcome may well have already been determined, and we've been talking about it already, I'm going to try and stay positive this week. As I told you last week on the show going into the bye week, I am down. I am still thinking about the Atlanta Thursday night game or the other Atlanta game at Raymond James Stadium. I'm still thinking about the Chiefs game. I'm still thinking about the 49ers game. I'm thinking about all the chances this team had to just grab even one more win, let alone two or three, in what would have put them in prime position right now. And I can't stop replaying it. And I need to get over it and move forward. All of us do. The Bucs certainly do. But either way, if it hasn't already been determined, and I have a feeling it may already have been, the Bucs have 7 weeks to get it turned around. And it's going to come against competition far, far, far at a lower level than what they have seen so far. And the first of those comes in the form of the New York Giants, who are 2-8 as the Buccaneers go up to the Meadowlands this Sunday. Bucs will be facing, actually the next 3 weeks now, they'll be facing teams that have benched their quarterbacks for non-injury reasons, with the Giants this week, the Panthers next week, although the Panthers are back to their original quarterback, but they still benched him at one point, and then the Raiders after that. The Giants are going to be starting Tommy DeVito, who is a guy who is not obviously one of the top tier guys in the NFL. Got his chance last year, kind of a nobody, and came in and went 3-3 for the Giants. The three wins, albeit, were against very low-level competition. Didn't do as well against better competition, but had 8 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Now, those are just the baseline numbers. If you get into more analytical stuff and look at what Tommy DeVito did last year, he ranked among the bottom of all quarterbacks who played any downs at all in the 2023 season. Not formidable, basically. But that doesn't mean this is going to be easy. We've seen what other quarterbacks who maybe weren't so ballyhooed have still been able to do against the Bucs in the past, and nobody should be taking this lightly. But Daniel Jones, the Giants starter, not only benched, as they've decided to pretty much just completely move on from him, but Daniel Jones, not even going to be the backup quarterback, not even the number 3, he's the number 4. He's basically out of the picture. They don't want to use him. They don't want to get him hurt either. They actually had him this week in practice in a red scout team jersey, giving the defense looks and walkthroughs alongside other practice squad players and even some other assistant coaches, just as a literal body just standing out there on the defensive side. So that's it. He's done. Like, they're done. And Drew Lock was the supposed backup quarterback and DeVito number 3, but DeVito is starting. The main reason for that, I think, and who knows, the Giants had meetings with both guys, and I don't really care about their quarterback situation anyway, and beyond what it affects the Bucs this weekend for. But basically, DeVito's a guy who maybe could kind of still have a future with the Giants, whereas Drew Lock is a free agent after this year. So I think they just want to see what they have with DeVito. Whereas if they were actually competing for something right now, they'd go with Lock. I think it doesn't matter anyway, so they're going to try this. And the Bucs need to chow down. The Bucs defense has to get right. It's going to have to start this weekend. You couldn't ask for a better opponent, I guess, as far as on the offensive side of the ball. And so here we go. Giants, I'm going to throw some numbers at you about this Giants team offensively. Defensively, they're actually not terrible, and their front seven is, the Bucs' offensive line could have their hands full. The Giants have played 5 games with scoring 1 or no touchdowns. They're 0-5 in those games, and that's tied with the Dolphins and Patriots for most in the NFL. I told you about Tommy DeVito and some of his exploits last year. Well, here's one as far as sack rate. And sack rate, people think, is just an offensive line stat. It is a quarterback stat as much, maybe more, than it is an offensive line stat. So last season, out of 68 qualifying QBs, guys who had at least 50 attempts in the 2023 season, Tommy DeVito had a 17.2% sack rate. That is 68th of 68. And not only is it 68th of 68, but even starting at number 67 and on down, it jumps up to 12.1%, 12.2%. Like, they're all within a tenth of a percent of each other going all the way down the line into the top guys. Then it's a 5% jump down to the worst guy, which was DeVito, at 17.2%. In other words, he sacks himself quite a bit. And the Buccaneers' defense is going to need to do that and get some help from him and get lots and lots of pressure on the youngster on Sunday afternoon. The Giants have only broken 23 points one time this year. That's tied with three other teams for the fewest. They're last in red zone success. It's an offense that has pretty much nothing going for it. And now it looks like everybody's going to get fired, although that's not a lock. But it looks like everybody's a lot of turmoil. The locker room isn't really thrilled. If you talk to some of the guys over there about the move, and they thought it was curious that they were doing this to Daniel Jones. They don't like the way he's being treated. Hey, like I said, whatever. I don't care about the state of the Giants franchise or organization. I just care about it for those 3 hours on Sunday at 1, and I hope the whole thing is in shambles. They are off a bye week, just like the Bucs. So the Bucs, even though they're off a bye week, don't get the rest advantage necessarily that they would have gotten if they were playing somebody who played last week. But either way, guys, I mean, we've talked about it over and over, so here it is now. Bucs have played the toughest schedule in the NFL in the first 10 weeks. They have beaten some of the best teams in the NFL, including the only loss for what is considered the best team in the NFL right now, the Detroit Lions. They've beaten the Commanders. They've beaten the Eagles. They've gone to overtime with the Chiefs on Monday night. And, I mean, that's all well and good. 4-6 is 4-6. There is no committee. There are no computer rankings. There is no AP poll or coaches poll to consider, hey, I know they're 4-6, but they're probably better than that. Nobody cares. So now you have to make up ground. The Falcons got blown out last week, which helps, and they're on a bye this week. If the Bucs win this week, they will be one game behind the Falcons in the NFC South. And obviously the Falcons have the tiebreaker, and again, it just absolutely kills you to think about those two Falcons games, where if the Bucs could only have split the two, they'd be 5-5, a half game ahead of Atlanta, and not having to worry about a head-to-head tiebreaker. But anyway, we can't change it now. So if this Bucs team is going to get it done, they got to go to work this weekend, and they got to stay at work and win and win and win and win. And can they do it? Sure, absolutely. Here's one thing I'll say. I'm not huge on predictions, and I don't like to make a lot of predictions. Here's my prediction for the second half of the Bucs season. I think they let this season get away from them already when they came up short in those two Atlanta games, okay? I've been saying it since before the first one on Thursday night, but even leading up to the second one, I said you've got to find a way to get a split here, and they couldn't do it. And then that just makes the losses like the one to San Francisco sting more, like the one to the Chiefs sting more. So I think the Bucs are going to get back in this. I think the schedule favors them. I think Atlanta will stumble a little bit, and not only the division, but the wild card could even be if the Bucs can win, you know, 5 or 6 of their last 7. I think they'll play meaningful games in December. I'm not telling anybody to stop watching, and I'm not going to stop watching. But I think ultimately what will happen is the Bucs will come up just short, or they'll need help and they won't get it, or just, you know, something. Basically, my prediction is something really, really frustrating will be how it ends. They'll come up just short. And then we'll look back and say, man, if they had just done this, that, or the other before the bye week, if they had only called that face mask, that Bucky Irving got face masked on the Thursday nighter in Atlanta, if Lavonte David had only knocked down that ball instead of intercepting it, they could have only held on or laid down on Drake London for an extra couple seconds so they couldn't kick the tying field. We'll look back on all that and say, oh, man, just missed it. That's my prediction. I think they're going to come up short, but I also think they're going to make a ball game of this. Basically, mathematically, what it comes down to, and we're still too early, in a couple more weeks, we can start looking at the playoff simulator and all that stuff. But basically, what it comes down to is they have to have Atlanta lose 2 more games than they do. And that will do it. Now, the Bucs play 1 more game than Atlanta does down the stretch. But still, that's basically, Atlanta has to lose twice more than however many times the Bucs lose. So if the Bucs go 6-1, Atlanta's got to lose 3. If they go 5-2, Atlanta's got to go and lose 4, whatever it is. And that's just the NFC South. As far as the wild card, there's too many other permutations and stuff like that. And it doesn't matter anyway, because another possible scenario, and I don't think this one will happen, but the Bucs could just come out in the second half and not have it and lose to some of these teams they're supposed to beat. And then the wheels come off. And the, you know, all this talk about Todd Bowles so far, I mean, I even see it on Twitter and Blue Sky. Oh, by the way, I'm on Blue Sky now. Same handle, just like everywhere else, at Bobby Game Day. That's Blue Sky, Twitter, my email address, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. But I'm already seeing it. Every time I make any tweet about how either, one, how bad the Bucs defense is, or even, two, about how good the Bucs offense is, I get people in the reply, that's Todd Bowles for you right there. I tweeted one example earlier today. They showed a chart. It was a graph plotting, like, on the x-axis was ranking teams by their success rate on offense, and on the y-axis it was ranking teams by their EPA per play. I think it might have been reversed, but either those were the two factors. And success rate, in case you're wondering, what's success rate? Success rate is a basic stat keeping track of offenses for each play. What makes a play a success? Obviously, it can vary from down to down, right? So success rate is on first down, getting 40% of the yards required or more. So if it's first and 10, if you get 4 yards or more, that was a successful play. On second down, did you get 70% of the yards required or more? Whatever it is, it could be second. If it's second and 10, then if you got 7, it's a successful play. If it's second and 5, if you got 3.5, or therefore 4, you get it. And then on third and fourth down, 100% of the yards required for it to be considered a success. And you can chart this play by play and rank everybody's offense. Bucks are 5th in the NFL in success rate offensively. EPA per play is a little more of a math formula, but it's basically estimated win probability added for each play. Every situation's got a win probability. You know, scores 20-16, third quarter, 8 minutes to go, you've got the ball first and 10 on the opposing 30-yard line. Okay, so then what next play now? What's your win probability? How did it change every play? EPA per play, Bucks are 7th. It's a top five offense, basically. They're in the very upper right corner of that graph, high on the x-axis and high on the y-axis. And yet, what has that gotten them? What has being a top five offense gotten them? 4-6. So, that's what I'm saying. When I tweet something like that, people don't go, oh man, wow, the offense has been really good. They go, we'll see. That just goes to show you how bad the defense is. Todd Bowles, fire him. The Bucks will never do it, blah, blah, blah. And hey, maybe those people are right. I'm not sure. But my point is, I think all that talk is premature. This is a team that has exceeded expectations, honestly. And I know the division hasn't been great, but I'm talking about under Todd Bowles the past few years, not this year. But you don't win, you know, all these division titles in a row, and even one post-Brady, without doing a halfway decent coaching job, and I think the Glazers believe that. And so I don't think he's going to get fired based on what we've seen so far. If they go out and the defense is really, truly bad, and they start getting carved up by guys like Tommy DeVito or others, or Bryce Young or whoever the hell the Raiders want to start in a given week, or Cooper Rush when they play the Cowboys, which, by the way, we're looking ahead, but the Bucs have most likely, I think, played their final primetime game of the year, at least in the regular season, because I feel like that Bucs-Cowboys Sunday nighter is getting flexed out. But anyway, my point is, if they go out and get carved up by these guys, then the Todd Bowles stuff maybe becomes a little louder, or at least a little more believable. Right now, I don't put much stock in it. It's just fan speak. Fans always want the coach fired, that type of that. We're not there yet, is what I'm saying, basically. And I hope we don't get there, but that is one of the alternatives. There's basically three ways this thing could go at this point. One is what we already talked about. The Bucks could start winning some games, feast on the soft underbelly of what is the back half of their schedule, make a game of this, get close, and come up short at the end of the year and just miss. Number two is they could actually do it. They could catch the Falcons. They could win the South. That's definitely in play. In fact, all these playoff predictors and all these things, I don't put a lot of stock in those either. I saw a couple of those that still have the Bucks even a game and a half behind the Falcons with no tiebreaker as a higher odds to make the playoffs than the Falcons have. I thought that was surprising. But anyway, again, those things vary. Everybody's got their own version. But they could do it is the point. That's the second option. And the third option is not only do they not make the playoffs, but it's not even close. They actually lose or go 500 down the stretch and lose to some of these bad teams, then the whole thing falls apart, and it's just a multiple games under 500 type of season. And if that happens, then we can talk about some more things later in the season. Right now, I think the most likely option is making a game of it and coming up just short. I hope I'm wrong. Either way, what we always ask first and foremost out of any Bucks season, right, is for the games to matter. There's nothing worse than just playing out the string or not mattering or wondering, should I even be rooting for a win or should I be worried about the draft, blah, blah, blah. So the Bucks don't have to do that. These games matter, and I think they're going to continue to matter. And we'll go from there week by week, and we're going to bring it every week on the free stretch. I hope the Bucks bring it every week on the field as well. They're going to be healthy again this weekend. Coming off the bye week, you would expect that. Obviously, Chris Godwin's not coming back, but aside from him, the injury report's not bad anymore, and it shouldn't be. Although there's still a few guys on it. Tristan Wirfs has been out there practicing in a somewhat limited capacity, but he's gotten better every day. I'm recording this on Thursday in the early afternoon. He's out there for the Thursday practice, according to what I've seen on Twitter, and looking pretty okay. But again, that one might go all the way up to game time. And with Wirfs, you know, especially if just one more week would make a world of difference, I'm not inclined to rush him. But on the other hand, this isn't one of those situations where, oh, it's the Giants anyway. Who cares? Rest him another week. We'll get the dub without him. Who, you know, don't risk it. They really do need him. The Giants, for as bad as they are, the strength of their team is the front seven. And like I said earlier in the show, the Bucks offensive line, they're going to have their hands full. The Giants are actually second in the NFL in sacks. They have 36 sacks as a team. Dexter Lawrence is a force. He's got 9. Brian Burns and Azeez Ojulari both have 6. I mean, this isn't going to be easy on that side of the ball. So it's not as simple as that. What the hell? Let Wirfs just sit. Who cares? No, I mean, they shouldn't play him if he is not all the way there or if he's in danger. We don't want to lose him for more. It'll just depend. So with that one, they have to wait and see. Mike Evans has been practicing a little bit limited, but coming back, he looks like he's on track to play. No word on Zion McCollum. He was not out at practice on Thursday, or at least not visible to the media that were there. And so with the hamstring, it sucks because they just now get Jamel Dean back. Like, he's good to go. So, okay, cool. We got Jamel Dean back. Finally, we're not going to be playing somebody like Josh Hayes at corner. Well, now maybe they don't have Zion anyway, so they might still have to use a guy at corner who isn't. It might not be Josh Hayes, though. They do have Troy Hill now, who made some plays for Carolina, was on the Bucks practice squad, and they've elevated him. So they could go with him over Josh Hayes and Funderburk, and he's at least played in the league before without getting completely annihilated, which is more than I can say for Josh Hayes this year. But it would just be nice to have both corners just once. We'll see if they can maybe do that one of these days. Right now, and this isn't me, by the time you hear this show, you may be listening to this on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, maybe the news has gotten better with Zion McCollum, but he is not practicing as of Thursday. And then looking at the rest of the team, everybody seems pretty okay. Tyke Smith limited in practice, but he's in the nickel spot. We'll see on Sunday if we know more or not. And look, go beat the Giants, okay? I mean, there are no easy wins in the NFL. This isn't college football or high school. And I don't ever, you know, act like, oh, the NFL is a league where if you don't come to play, you can and will get your ass handed to you any single weekend by any of those other 31 teams, even the ones that are 2-8, even the ones that bench their starting quarterback, even the ones that feel like they're going to fire their whole coaching staff in just 5 minutes. Even those teams will beat you if you don't come to play. And they're coming off a bye just like the Buccaneers, so figure it out, okay? And for now, let's just take these things week to week. I'm as guilty as anybody because I'm constantly looking at the playoff scenarios and the tiebreakers, even though I know it's too early for that. And I know I'll feel stupid for doing it if they go out and they can't even beat the Giants or they lose to the Raiders or somebody else bad. So right now, and I know the team knows this, get a win over the Giants while Atlanta's off. Cut this thing to a one-game lead. If you do that, according to those simulators and stuff, your playoff odds hover around 50%, which, I mean, that's way higher than I would have guessed, but schedule matters, and it softens up a lot now. So now's the time to put up or shut up. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Again, BobbyGameDay, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Before we wrap it up, you know, we're coming off the bye week. There's no game to talk about from last week. We're ready for the Giants. I want to say one more thing here on the show. This is non-Buccaneer related. It's not football related. But I've always been a Tampa Bay sports guy, whether it's the Bucs, the Rays, the Lightning, those of you that know me back from my sports talk career, where I was at WDAE for a little while, and before that I was at 1010, and before that 1470 doing my show with Scott Brantley. I've been a Tampa Bay sports guy, well, since I was a kid, but I've covered Tampa Bay sports since literally a few months after getting out of college. So it all matters to me, and this show is obviously a Buccaneer-centric show. It's on joebucksfan.com, but we can talk about other things as well. So, this Rays Stadium thing, I'm not going to do a whole long spiel on it. I'm just going to say some things real quick, okay? And all you guys know what's happened the past week where, you know, we all celebrated this deal that got signed, over the summer. We're like, hey, all right, finally, it's done. The Bucks are going to get, the Rays are going to get their stadium, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was it. All naive me, I thought we had jumped all the hurdles and now everything was just going to start happening. But of course, even when you approve something, then you have to approve it again and again and again. So the Pinellas County Commission, and you know, there's three prongs to this. The Rays are giving up some money. City of St. Pete is giving up some money. And then Pinellas County is giving up some money. So the part we're getting hung up on right now is the Pinellas County portion, because the Pinellas County Commission, after approving the deal with their vote, then delayed the first bond right out of the gate. I don't know why they did that, but it pissed off Stu Sternberg and the Rays, who are notoriously, let's say this, the Rays and Stu Sternberg's ownership group have been outstanding in the realm of baseball itself. Anybody who criticizes them baseball-wise, I know that they should have spent even more, they blah, 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 fine. That you can criticize that you wish they'd spend more money, but on the budget that they have set for themselves, whether that's right or wrong, they have fielded one of the most competitive teams in baseball over a long period of time, not just a flash in the pan. And when you look at teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Phillies and all these big money teams, the only one of them that's up there with them that doesn't belong is the Rays. The Rays have been doing it on a shoestring budget and doing it well. So, again, whatever criticisms you have of Stu Sternberg, and there are many, baseball-wise, you shouldn't have very many. Now, are they tone-deaf? Yes. Are they horrible at communication? Yes. Are they just really weird about stuff? Absolutely. They're just weird about stuff. Like, they never just come out and say what they mean or what they want. They're always cryptic. Then they come out, they like lie in wait and are just silent for long periods of time. Then they make these big splash, like they send out a letter, like they did this past week. Oh, we're not answering any questions. Here's our letter. And it's just this caustic, you know, litany of grievances. And, the deal can't work anymore. It's not going to happen. Forget about everything we talked about. We've already called off all the people working on the project. It's like, guys, and this is what happened with the County Commission for Pinellas. They're like, hey, just, you know, talk to us, man. Like, we'll do something. Now, in defense of the Rays, I'd really like to know why they approve this whole thing. We go through this whole song and dance, hearings, meetings. Everybody's got to be on the same page. We vote yes. Then they delay the first thing. And people say, oh, well, we had hurricanes, and that's why. Let me tell you something right now. And I'm very fortunate. I didn't really suffer much hurricane damage. I had a couple, you know, individual roof shingles I had to spend a few $100 on. That was it. And my power was out for a few days, like a lot of people. I know, though, a lot of other people, whether it be from Helene, the flooding, or Milton, flooding and wind, whatever it was, a lot of people lost their entire homes, lost more than that. I mean, it varies from person to person. It's horrible, okay? I'm not downplaying any of it. But the idea that a hurricane should have anything to do with this stadium thing, I mean, that's ridiculous to me. This is a generational, like 50 to 75 year decision that the Pinellas County Commission made in conjunction with the city of St. Pete and with the Rays. And the idea, oh, we got priorities. This hurricane happened. First of all, it's not the same money. People say, oh, well, you got to fix people's houses and roads and infrastructure. None of that money. This is money by law, okay, cannot be used for anything involving that. It can be used for beach renourishment. Yes, that's the only hurricane-related thing involved here. But even so, other commissioners for Pinellas have said they have enough money for both. Either way, I'm so sick and tired of everything, and I know it's easy for me to say because I didn't have as much damage or any damage compared to some people, but like, it's all anybody talks about is the damn hurricanes. Okay, look, we went 100 years without one. One finally came through. It was pretty bad for a lot of people. It could have been a lot worse. Overall, it wasn't that bad for like the metro area at large. You pick up, you fix stuff, you move on. But you can't, I mean, like, there's no reason. There is no reason the stadium and the money involved with that and the decisions made involving that, which again, 50, 75-year decisions, should have anything to do with the fact that we got hit by a hurricane a month ago, whatever it was. All right? Like, I'm imagining, you know, I'm 44. I'm imagining being 74 years old and my grandkids sitting on my knee and me telling them about when we used to have a Major League Baseball team. Oh, why'd they move, Grandpa? Oh, well, you know, we had a stadium deal that we were going to make that they'd still be playing here to this day, but we had a hurricane come through, and so the whole thing got tabled because that particular month in time, people felt like we shouldn't do it, even though, again, like, this is a lifetime decision. It has nothing it's just absurd to me that, you know, a hurricane goes through, and, oh, we got to stop everything we're doing. Look, I mean, you know, stuff going on this week, this month, this year, okay. Stuff that affects stuff 40, 50, 60 years down the road, like having a Major League Baseball team does, no. If you're against the whole thing just in general, like that's actually okay with me. We can disagree on that, but if your stance is, oh no, it ain't the hurricane, I disagree with this deal in general, I don't think we should give them the money, that's a perfectly valid opinion. And I know a lot of people have that opinion, and that opinion is fine, okay? What I don't like are people that were for it, and now they want to hit the brakes on it because a hurricane went through. That has nothing to do with anything. The hurricanes are going to come and go. I got news for you. We were lucky to go 100 years. I hope we go another 100 years, but most likely we won't, and those will come and go, okay? But not every one of them's Katrina. The city's not leveled. We'll be okay. You got to take care of this deal that you made, and they didn't do that. I want to know why they delayed that vote. I don't blame the Rays for being a little bit upset about that. I do blame them for overreacting to it and completely trying to tank everything, and now we got to start all over from scratch to get it figured out. But, you know, all in all, I just wanted to say my piece there because I keep reading every single day in the news, and the hurricane. I know that, hey, the roof got torn off the trough. Okay, adjust. They did. Steinbrenner Field, it's going to be great. And listen, that has nothing to do with Pinellas versus Hillsboro. Of all the spring stadiums, that's the only one anywhere close to being kind of, sort of MLB-ish. Like, it needs the least done to it. It's got the biggest capacity, the clubhouses, the facilities. The one the Phillies playing in Clearwater doesn't have that. The one the Blue Jays, I know they said the Blue Jays hosted, yet still, it doesn't compare to Steinbrenner. And if Steinbrenner Field was in Pinellas instead of Hillsboro, then the Rays would have played there. But these Pinellas commissioners get all, oh, it's disappointing, they're leaving Pinellas County. It has nothing to do with that. Steinbrenner Field's the only one that is a viable place for what they're trying to do. And if you want to talk about the hurricane, use that for an excuse for stuff, well, there's an excuse. Hey, look, we had our stadium roof get ripped off like a few months before opening day. We kind of need to do something in a hurry. Here's this place sitting right there, so we're going to do it. I think we should be able to understand that. But, you know, whatever ends up happening, I'm still not panicking that they're going to move, but I thought we were done with this and now we're not. I hope they can figure it out. Losing a team that you don't have to lose is a horrible thing. And again, it's not something you're going to be bummed out about next year or in 2030. It's something that will still be true in 2040, in 2050, in 2060, for the rest of all of our lives, okay? So, and again, if you didn't want to do it to begin with, fine. Maybe you're okay with that. But the hurricane is, I don't care how bad it was, is not a good enough reason. That's a temporary thing. This is a permanent thing. And those two, they don't have anything to do with each other. You might have to regroup for a little bit. And this is the thing with the Rays. The Pinellas County Commission wasn't saying no. They're just saying, hey, let's, you know, give us like a couple weeks here. Let us figure out what's going on. To me, the breakdown of communication came, if it was so important to the Rays that even delaying this vote was going to nuke the whole deal, then that should have been made clear to whoever was. People should have been on the same page. I don't know if the Pinellas County understood what they were doing and they thought it wasn't a big deal and the Rays did, or maybe the Rays are just being petty. I'm not sure what their move is here or why they're trying to get out of this deal, because if they wanted this to work, they could be making it work still. But either way, I just wish people would stop being so cryptic and weird and standoffish and just talk to each other. But neither side seems to trust the other side, and it turns into, I just want adults in the room. I don't feel like we have enough adults in the room dealing with this stuff. And so I'll continue to have thoughts on it. I'm not going to make it, you know, something we talk about all the time, but I wanted to say that today since we had a little extra time and the Bucks are off a bye week anyway. That's my piece on that. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Twitter, you can find me. Blue Sky, you can find me. Same thing, @BobbyGameDay. And until then, that's it for our show. We'll be back next week. First step, 7 games. Bucks need to go probably 6-1. Maybe 5-2 is good enough. Maybe not, but no worse than that. And you got to beat teams like the New York Football Giants, who are struggling, who are in turmoil, who are on the abyss of just having their season completely collapse if it hasn't already. No excuses. It starts on Sunday, 1 p.m. Bucks-Giants. It's a CBS game, by the way, not Fox. Have some friends over. Watch the game. Have an excuse to have fun. Make it enjoyable. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the Joes. JoeBucksFan.com, the best place anywhere. TV, internet, radio for Bucks coverage. Thanks to them for giving me this platform. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the Free Stretch. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.